you'd find 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 will be our text tonight. I have good news and bad news for you. Bad news first, I have 15 minutes and 8 pages of notes. Good news is I've already preached 6 of these 8 pages, so I just want to finish up tonight 2 of our pages here on handling temptation. You find in our text here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verses 12 to 13, the Bible says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Great advice for us, especially when it comes to the area. Great instruction, I should say, not advice, but great instruction, especially when it comes to the area of temptation. "For there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful," praise the Lord, "who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Last week we began talking about temptation. We began looking at it. I understand, and you understand, that temptation is very intimidating to us sometimes, and it can be. One lady said, "I can handle anything, preacher, except temptation." And you and I relate and understand to that statement. We said that it's all around. We do not have to go looking for it. It comes looking for us. We understood that we are tempted because we are human. We understood that temptation itself is not sin. Otherwise, the Lord Jesus would have committed sin, and we know that he did not commit sin. But it does lead us to the opportunity to decide whether we are going to give ourselves to that. We said that there are 3 ways to handle temptation. We can do it animalistic and give into it. That basically puts self-gratification, self-preservation, self-propagation, and just a whatever feels good, do it kind of mentality, almost animalistic. We said you could fight it. Some people try to fight temptation. We're going to talk a little bit about that. There's some confusion. If I try to fight temptation in my own strength or in the flesh, I'm sure to fail. The person who's trying to fight temptation, they're always battling. They said that they're always constantly struggling, never succeeding, constantly failing. "Well, I'm trying, preacher, but you know, the circumstances are always depressive, or the hardships are always there, or I'm just about out and I get sucked back in." Sometimes when we fight temptation in our own flesh, we have the capacity to handle it that way. Or we can, as our scripture says, we can overcome it through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that. We talked about who can be tempted. We saw in verse number 11 here, verse number 12, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." We said that everyone that is walks earth and all believers have the possibility to be tempted. All of us are subject to temptation. Just because you've been saved does not make you immune from temptation. I don't know about you, but for me, life got a lot more difficult after I got saved than before I was saved. Amen. I didn't know I had an enemy before I was saved. I didn't know that my flesh was wicked before I got saved. I really didn't know I had a sinful nature. I thought everything about me was great, with no problems, no issues. I was a good guy. And then once I got saved, I realized that I have an enemy. I realized that I have a sin nature. I realized that I am able to be tempted and that I'm not above that. One of the greatest dangers, we said, was when we take the position that we think we're standing. When we take the position of, "Pastor, I can handle this. Pastor, I won't be tempted. Pastor, I can go out on this lunch date with this worker. I can look at this situation. I can do this, and it doesn't bother me." Anytime I put faith in my flesh or think that I take a position where I can stand, the Bible says, "Take heed, because we're about to fall." And so we said, all men can be tempted. Where does temptation come from? The Bible clearly says that temptation comes from one of 3 sources. It comes from the world, it comes from the flesh, or it comes from the devil. Now, the world, the word there is cosmos. It's the order, it's the system. It's not nature. Nature's not evil in of itself, and people are not evil as far as a creation there, but it's the order, the cosmos, that system of order that goes contrary to the word of God. If I walked out and I said something like, I'll use myself for an example. If I say to most Christians, "Man, Tom Hunter is so full of the world, I can hardly believe it." Immediately, when people use the word world, we get this vision of gutters and alcohol in brown little bags and drunk and passed out and debauchery and filth. But you know, that's not always the world. The world sometimes can be very beautiful. By the way, did you ever think about this? The devil's not stupid. The devil is a roaring lion and he's an angel of light. You're a lot better and I'm a lot better billboard for the devil, not in the gutter, but in the pew. Amen or oh me. I'm a lot better billboard for the gutter in a three-piece. Well, we don't wear three-piece suits anymore. Hallelujah. I don't know which one of you men stopped that, but I thank you very much for that. But I'm a lot better billboard in my suit and driving this church on Sunday than I am laying in the gutter with alcohol over me. You know, people pass by that, and there's a societal understanding that that's hard. There's a societal understanding that I don't want that. I mean, you don't raise your kid to be a wino, and you don't raise and make decisions for yourself to be there. And so sometimes we just automatically think that the world is just pornography, prostitution, immorality, drugs, alcohol. That's worldly. No, worldly can be success. The order can be a business decisions. It's anything that the world sets up that goes contrary to the word of God. We said that temptation comes from the flesh. That's not our physical body. That's our sin nature is what it's talking about. It can come from the devil. Matthew chapter 4 clearly says that the Lord Jesus was led away by the devil to tempt him. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We said, where are you tempted? Well, we are in creation a trichotomy. Some people think that we're a dichotomy or just two, where that with the spirit and the soul are same. But the Bible clearly teaches that man is body, soul, and spirit. And our temptations come to us in our body and in our soul and in our spirit. We said our body is not me. My body is a spacesuit that houses me. If you could see the real me, it would terrify you. Praise God, I got a space suit on. But my body is not me. I spend a lot of time on my body thinking that it's me. And we make a lot of decisions on thinking that our body is really us. But your body is just a space suit that houses your soul, your psuche, your mind, your emotion, your will, your sense of humor. That which makes you, you. He has a great personality. You're not saying that. You're saying he has a great soul. He has such a marvelous sense of humor. You're identifying with his soul. And so I'm body and I'm soul. And you know your soul is condemned, needing to be saved. But I'm also spirit. And that's what the spirit is what makes me different from the animals and the rest of creation. I have the capacity, once I've been quickened by the Holy Spirit and my spirit's been made alive, to communicate with God. And that ought to get an amen. Amen for that. That we have the opportunity to communicate. Now, I wasn't born with a living spirit. I was born with a living body. I was born with a living soul, but I was born with a dead spirit. And it wasn't until I was born again that my spirit was quickened. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And so an unsaved man cannot grasp the depths of the teaching of the Spirit of God because my spirit is dead. But once my spirit is made alive, then I have the ability to communicate with God and to worship God. And he said, if I'm going to worship God, I worship God in spirit and in what? Truth. So where does temptation hit me? Temptation hits me in my spirit, in my soul, or in my body. And this is basically where we left off last week. And you say, well, Pastor, okay, I understand that I'm a trichotomy, and I understand that I have a body, and I have a soul, and I have a spirit. But how does that help me with temptation? Here's how that helps you. Who tempts us? The world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. Three enemies, three parts. Can you see where we're going with this? So I am tempted by one of these enemies in one part of my makeup. Let me explain that to you. The world is going to tempt me in the area of my soul. The world, really, the temptation of the world, as far as the order, sometimes we say, well, I was just tempted by the world and I've been immoral. No, fornication and sensuality, that temptation hits me in my body. The world hits me in my soul. Now, what's attractive to my soul? My ego, my success, what people say of me. Lot would be an example of that. Lot didn't go down to Sodom and Gomorrah to satisfy his body. Lot didn't go down to Sodom and Gomorrah because he was tempted in his spirit. Lot went down to Sodom and Gomorrah because he was tempted in his soul. He said, Uncle Abraham, I want this part of the world. Why do I want this part of the world? Because this part of the world is well watered. This part of the world will allow me to be successful. This part of the world will allow my sheep to be cared for. And I will be a great herdsman. By the way, when Lot went to Sodom, where did Lot sit? In the what? In the gate. Do you know what sitting in the gate is a sign of? It's a place of authority. It's a place of leadership in the city. Now, I ask you a question. Knowing Sodom and Gomorrah, if Lot would have went down there without the success of the soul, then Lot would have never been in the gate in a position of leadership. And so the world tempted him in that success. Is success wrong? No, it's not wrong. But worldly success, which is contrary to the order of God, leads you into places where you never dreamed you would be. And so the Bible says that Lot vexed his righteous soul. So the world tempts me in my soul, in my position, in my understanding. Where does the flesh attack me? Well, the flesh attacks me in my body. Well, Pastor, give me a biblical example of that. Well, let's take King David. King David didn't take Bathsheba because he was tempted in his soul. He didn't even want anybody to know. He didn't want success there. And he sure wasn't tempted in his spirit for that. Where was he tempted? He was tempted in his body. By the way, the Bible says that was he first introduced to Bathsheba? The Bible says that he what to her? He saw her. He saw her. He saw her bathing herself. Now, you and I understand this. This is just science. Men and women created differently. A man in his body is stimulated by sight. That's why the Bible said, Job said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eye. That's why, ladies, when you come to church, you ought to be modestly dressed. Well, it's his fault he looks on me. Well, a man in his sight is an opportunity and a stimulation. For a lady, it's in the physical touch. And so here you go. You have David seeing Bathsheba. You have the flesh attacking David in the body. And he said, looks good. Think I'll have that. Goes over and takes her. Not only takes her, kills her husband. And so you see how the devil takes the flesh and that old sin nature and takes the body, and which is good, and twists it and perverts it and goes along those lines. So the world attacks me in my soul. My flesh attacks me in my body. Then where does the devil attack me? The devil attacks me in my spirit. Now, Pastor, how does that work? Well, our spirit is the part of our nature that enables us to communicate to God. And the devil does not want that, and he tries to drive a wedge between that. But the biblical precedent for that is Peter. Satan was working on Simon Peter on his faith and his relationship with God. And that's what the temptation was to deny Jesus. And so Peter said, I don't know him. And he wasn't on an ego trip. And he wasn't on a trip for his body. It was an attack by the devil in his spirit to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, we've been there before. I'll never forget. There used to be a car wash. Oakland Park Boulevard, a little bit west of 441, right? No. East of 441, west of Lyons Road. Victory Car, anybody, is it still there? Anybody live over there? I used to take my car there and get it washed. One day we're seated there, and I don't know. There's workers everywhere, and there's about 8 or 10 of us sitting there waiting for our car. And a man walks in. And a man begins to witness Jesus Christ like I've never seen it done publicly in my life. And he says, I was just new. I mean, I was 21, 22 years old. I don't know. I was just starting in the ministry. And to me, I got embarrassed. Now, when I get embarrassed, a couple things happen to me. I get beet red, and my head itches like it's got lice all over it. I don't know. Does that happen to you? I can feel when I had hair, it used to stick right up. And I get nervous. And I thought, this guy's in here doing this. And then he said something. He said, isn't there any other Christians in this room? Nope. I'll never forget that day. I will never forget that day as long as I live. Attacked in my spirit to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Been there. Maybe you have too. So see, the world attacks me in my soul. Oh, come on. Be this, be popular, get all this. Flesh attacks my body. If it feels good, do it. And the fornication part. But the Satan attacks me in my spirit. And to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. When are we tempted? Do you ever think about this? Youth, which I include myself, we're normally tempted in the body. Middle age. You know, I don't know how they ever discovered the middle age because that thing moves around faster than I can keep hold of it. I guarantee you, everybody in this room says you're middle age if you're over youth. Middle age, the world gets us. Us, like I'm there. You, I'm not there. I'm in the youth. To a middle-aged person, Mr. and Mrs. Big, Mr. and Mrs. Ego. Old age, which will be all of us someday way down the road, the spirit gets us. Where's the spirit to tempt an old age person? You're going to die. You're going to get a disease. God's not going to be faithful to you to the end of your life. Your money's going to run out. Your grandchildren got no hope. You see, we get tempted differently in the areas of our life. And so understanding that, that's why he told a young man, flee fornication and some other things here. Now, quickly, how do we get victory over this temptation? You write these three words down. You do your own study on them. I'm going to give you three thoughts here. Against the world. Now, I'm going to do something that's going to scare me, but I'm going to do it anyway. The world attacks us where? That's what I thought. Thank you, Brother Jay. I vote we give him a raise right now, okay? The world attacks us where? Soul. Our soul is not our body. It's our suitcase, it's our mind, our emotional. So the world attacks me in my soul, in my ego, in my desire to be popular, in my desire for promotion. All right, so how do I defeat that? Well, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, you write this down. The Bible says very clearly, and I'm going to try to get there. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, here it is. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Same world we're talking about. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. How do I have victory against the world when they attack me? I have victory when they attack my soul by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:15, 2 Corinthians 13:5, you ought to be able to compare these two verses. We say the words worldly Christians sometimes. People who are worldly have never found their satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Now watch this. When the world attacks you in your soul to lift you to a position like Lot to choose wickedness to be furthered, and when the world comes after that, the question is, am I satisfied with Jesus? Now I got some question for you. Are you content in whatsoever state you are, or does contentment lie at the next level? Does contentment lie at the next pay raise? Does contentment lie at the next promotion? Does contentment lie at the next child? No, it doesn't. It's already stopped. I'm fully content, all right? But is contentment one step ahead? See, if contentment is one step ahead, then the world will attack my soul. And the question is, do I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and is he enough for me? And God's people said, amen to that. So the battle and the key to fighting the world and that attack against my soul is specific faith here. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What does that mean? That means if I humble myself, he'll exalt me in due time. I'm flying, but I'll go to the next one. The next victory is over the flesh. Well, how do I battle the flesh, Pastor? This is to young people. Anymore, it can be to older people, but most of the time these are to young men, young ladies. It's not here, it's not faith, it's not fight, but it's the word flight. Flight. We're to flee fornication. We're to flee youthful lust. By the way, you're never told to overcome the flesh by fighting it. Well, Pastor, I can handle it. I can handle it. If you're here and you've been tempted in your body, pornography, maybe a coworker, maybe a neighbor, maybe it's video, maybe it's something, but you know there is an all-out attack from the flesh against your body, the responsibility to you is not to fight that thing. The responsibility is to flee. Flee. Well, I can handle it. No, you can't. Well, Pastor, it won't bother me. Let me give you a verse. Don't ever forget this verse. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. The Bible says this. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Now, I ask you a question. If we were to build a little fire right down here, and you come down and you take that fire and you pick up those sticks and you hug them, are you going to get burned, yes or no? Every time? Every time. Sir, you pick it up and you're going to get burned every time. Lady, you flirt with it, you're going to get burned every time. Joseph didn't say, oh, Mrs. Potiphar, oh, you'll find somebody else. Oh, Mrs. Potiphar, I can just sit in here a while and I'll just keep you company, but we won't do anything. Oh, Mrs. Potiphar, I can go so far, but just not that. No, the Bible says that Joseph ran out the door. That's the position of fighting the flesh. It's the only position. To deny the word of God is foolishness. Amen or oh me. Amen. The last way I fight the devil, and the last word is the word fight. Go to James chapter 4, and we'll finish our time right here. James chapter 4, and look at verse number 7. To the world, I have faith. I have contentment in the Lord Jesus, contentment in the gospel. My faith overcomes the world. It's not success and all that. I'm content in Christ. I have specific faith in him. To the flesh, I am fleeing. I am flighting. Let me just back up with one thing here. And we all need to do this every once in a while. Dad, let me talk to you. You ought to take an inventory of your home at least once a year. What does that mean? Now, this is just something that's off the cuff. I'm going to step outside over here. I'm just going to give you my opinion. I'm going to tell you I'm giving you my opinion. Here's my opinion. Every dad and every husband ought to take inventory of your home once a year. You will be amazed at what slips into your home over the course of a year. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. You don't even know it's there. And if you've got young people and teenagers and even in my own life, I'm realizing my children got ears. I knew they were born with them, but I didn't think they work. I told them their whole life when they were little to do things, they ignored me. And now when I don't want them to hear anything, they hear it right away. You ought to take inventory of your home. The devil, fighting. Look at James chapter 4, verse number 7. Marvelous and great truth. He says here, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Pastor, can I resist the devil? Yes and no. No, you can't resist the devil in your flesh. And no, you say, well, Pastor, I'm not afraid of the devil. Well, that's not really the question. The question is not really if you're afraid of the devil or not. The question is the devil afraid of you? You see, well, Pastor, I can resist the devil because I've got God's word in my heart that I should not sin. Well, I've tried that. I've tried that. If you think you're just going to roguely say, memorize verses, and that's going to keep you out of sin, you have another thing coming. It's not going to happen. Well, what does cut me? Go to verse number 7. Submit yourself. What does that mean? That means that you don't fight the devil and you don't try to outrun him in yourself. That means you place yourself in an authoritative position before God. I submit myself. I'm saved. I'm obedient. I submit myself to the authority of God's word. I yield my will. I go and then I take the word of God and I say, devil, I belong to the king. I'm obedient to him. I'm going by faith and get out of here. I don't want you to bother me anymore. You say, Pastor, can I really overcome the devil? Well, listen to what it said in Revelation chapter 12. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. You can actually overcome the devil. All right. Victory over temptation. For the world, it's faith. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. When I'm to overcome the flesh, I flee. I get away from it. I run. For the devil, I fight as a man submitted to the Lord. Pastor, will that really work? Well, I read this verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the what? in the world. Now listen, don't be a coward. Don't be a coward. We got enough cowards in the Lord's army. There's no reason to cower. We can overcome the enemy, and we can watch temptation bring us closer to the Lord, understanding our makeup as God made us, understanding our enemies, understanding the defense and the defensive weapon and the offensive weapon that God has given to us. And if I will submit myself there, I can go forward and I can handle that temptation. And I can go forward and Christ can get the glory and Christ can get the victory. And we said last week, well, Pastor, why doesn't God just remove all temptation and why doesn't he kill the devil? The reason is that is because our God takes a backseat to nobody. He is the Lord. Amen. And so he's not interested in removal of all that. He's interested in crushing it and victorious over it so that he'll get the glory. I hope that helps you. I know I flew. There's some verses there for private study. You do it on your own. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God. I know there are men and women in this room right now going through heavy temptation. God, I include myself. I'm a young man. I'll guard my words, but I'll tell you this. My body gets attacked daily by the flesh. I've got eyes. My body has appetites just like their bodies have appetites. God, I'm reminded of what Joseph said. He said, how can I do this great wickedness before God? God, as I walk with you and I talk with you and I read and I pray, I find that you're a marvelous God. God, I don't want to sin against you. I want sin to be exceedingly sinful in my life. And so, God, I thank you for making a way of escape in the area of my body. And then, God, even as my own spot, the world, it's out there. That cosmos, that system, that order wanted me to go contrary. God, the draw of that. Success, build a big church, have all this. It hammers me and it hammers the people in different ways. But I thank you, God, for the faith that's vested in the Lord Jesus Christ that overcomes the world. And I thank God about my spirit. So many times the devil says, you're too tired. You're such a failure. No, God's sick of you. God's disappointed in you. Comes and tells me there's a different way, there's a better way than obedience. You don't have to do that. Hammers me in my spirit. But I thank you so much, God, that I'm never without your love, never without your marvelous presence. God, you said if I'd submit myself to you, that I could resist the devil and he'd flee from me. You would make that way of escape. I pray for the man or woman battling temptation today. God, there may be a man looking to cheat on his wife, a wife looking to be disobedient at work, an employee looking to be tempted, a boss looking to cut corners. God, help us to walk in holiness. We love you. Thank you for these people. I love them. Thank you for our guests tonight. Meet the need now. Bless us as we sing and go home, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.